What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 11 of A Disciple of Christ, A Season of Commitment. Today's devotion is titled, A Call for Genuine Praise. A.W. Tozer once wrote, God is trying to call us back to that for which He created us, to worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. Our text for today is from Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. God calls for genuine praise to correct empty ritualism. In verse 7, God testifies against them and indicts them of formalism. These charges concern their worship. The word hear is a call for them to listen and respond. Alan Ross provides excellent commentary on verses 7 through 13. As far as the ritual and the cultic worship was concerned, they were doing everything to the letter. The priests were in their proper attire. The people were bringing the right animals. The ritual was conducted in perfect accord with the law. It would have appeared fitting and beautiful. But then the Lord brings the charge, and this charge is very simple. In essence, He tells the people that He does not need their sacrifices, implying that they thought He did. The statements that follow indicate that they were performing the right ritual for the wrong reasons, and that is what made their worship an empty form. In verse 9, the Lord announces that He will not take a bull or a goat from their stalls. It was not the animal that God wanted, but them. God did not need their animals because all the animals in the world belong to Him, according to verses 10 and 11. He owns the animals in the forest, the cattle on a thousand hills, the birds in the hills, and creatures of the field. The people were bringing sacrifices to God because they thought God needed them. But the sacrifices never meant that they were feeding God. That was a pagan mentality. In the ancient world, sacrifices and offerings were brought to the temples to feed the gods, because the gods were like humans, and their hunger and thirst had to be satisfied. If their hunger was satisfied, the pagans believed, then the gods would meet their needs. But the Bible made it very clear that God is a spirit and not human. Any language that described him with human qualities was purely figurative, and that language never portrayed him as having the baser human needs and instincts. So God reminds the people, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. How absurd to think that God's call for sacrifices was a call for a meal. Even if God were hungry, he would not have to depend on mortals to meet his needs. What kind of God would be dependent on his people? The next verse makes the point graphically. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? The whole sentence is a rhetorical question to affirm that he does not do this. He is God. The point is that they were not to bring sacrifices to provide his food, thinking he needed them. That was too human, too manipulative. The wording of these verses implies that was what they were thinking. But that is the opposite of what they were supposed to be thinking. They were to bring sacrifices to God as tokens of their dependence on him. They were to bring sacrifices to God because they needed him. In verses 14 and 15, the Lord instructs them to change their approach to worshiping him. God wants a sacrifice of praise as they present their offerings to him. While the animal was on the altar, they should have declared what God had done for them, then partaken of the sacrifice as a shared meal. These heartfelt actions would clearly express their desperate need for him. Additionally, it would allow them to fully appreciate God for meeting their needs. Overall, it would be a genuine expression of their love for him. Some questions to consider. In what ways can your worship become more of a routine than a genuine expression of praise? Why is it important to praise God out of the overflow of your personal relationship with him? And finally, what is your takeaway from Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15, and how can you apply it to your commitment to God? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.